Welcome to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. Whether your family has been on this journey for years or you're just getting started, we're here to support and encourage you along the way. And now your hosts, Lynette Ezell and Tara Melber.
Well, welcome back to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. You know, Tara, compassion is not an emotion of stagnant sympathy, but compassion is action. It's when we enter into the pain of others and move forward to offer them our love and help, just as Jesus has shown his compassion to us. You know, the greatest way he did that was through his sacrifice on the cross. Mm-hmm. But simply put, compassion means doing for others what Jesus did for us. Mm-hmm. And this brings us to our guest for today, just a sweet, sweet friend who truly fleshes out compassion.
Mm-hmm. We're so happy to welcome Christy Haig to the podcast today. Christy has a really unique perspective on serving vulnerable children. She grew up in a children's home in Texas where her father worked for over 30 years. And what you might not know is she's married to Dr. Jerry Haig, who is the president of Florida Baptist Children's Home, which also encompasses Orphan's Heart and the Porchlight Ministry. And, you know, the Florida Baptist Children's Home has a really deep ministry. They've ministered to over 171,000 people this last year, both domestically and internationally. So, Christy, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
You know, there are children in our community whose lives are, you know, just they're unstable, and their everyday challenges just can be a meal or just other basic needs. They have mothers who deeply love them, who want the best for them. We all know this, but their moms may not have the resources, the support system. We're not trained to be a mother. Christy, we know that you are actively engaging this growing problem through a ministry called Brave Moms. Can you tell us more about that?
I would love to. You know, Brave Moms is something that we are just beyond excited about. As you said, you know, I grew up at a children's home. My father actually is 40 years. 40
oh,
years.
Wow.
This year, he'll get his 40-year little pin. But I know he's a precious man of God. But, you know, all my growing up years, the traditional model was we took a child into our care and we raised that child. And now what we're seeing, and we still do that. We still have amazing residential and foster care. But we're putting so much more time and energy and prayer and effort toward the preventive side, where we are coming alongside these precious single moms, and we call them brave moms because that's
exactly
what they are. They are single moms out there being mom and dad, and they're making the sandwiches, and they're doing homework, and they're holding down jobs, and they're providing for their children. They're these brave moms. So what we've done is the Lord put on our hearts to start this really cool program called Brave Moms. And what we do is we take the mom and her children into our care. They come and live in one of our homes. And the program usually lasts about 9 months. And we just wrap around them with a lot of really cool services. And so it's been highly successful. And I'm so glad that y'all want to talk about it today.
Yeah, because there's 24 million children in the United States living in a single parent family.
That's right. That's right.
And you know, you think about it, when we talk about our mandate as believers to come alongside and care for widows and orphans in their time of need, we have to look at, you know, the foster care system in itself, children having to be removed from homes. What could we do beforehand so that they wouldn't have to be? And how can we keep that nuclear family together, even if it's a single mom is the nuclear family with her children? What can we as believers do to keep that family intact and to come alongside and mentor these young girls to be able to help them be the moms that they have been created to be? And
absolutely,
keeping families together is always the best scenario if it can be a healthy situation.
So I assume the first thing you would do is provide housing?
Yes. So we, if you're a mom and you want to be in our program, we give you a house and we provide, you know, we carry all the utilities, and we have an amazing compassion ministry, Florida Baptist Children's Home. We have a compassion ministry. We'll do over 5 million meals this year.
Wow.
And that's a fun thing to talk about too. But we provide all their food and resources, and then we bring them into our home. And then one of the most important things we do is we pair them up with a godly mentor. And we have, I feel like, the best materials on mentoring these single moms out there. We have a really cool program. It's called New Start. And one of our great board members wrote this material. Her name's Diane Strack. And she wrote material called New Start. And it's a mentoring program where we ask you to come alongside these girls. And it's a commitment, but we empower you and we give you the tools you need to be a mentor. But you come in and we pair you up with a mom and you actually mentor them weekly with this amazing material. And part of the material is even teaching basic things like budgeting and parenting skills and how to be a good mom and how to get a better job. And those basic things that a lot of these young ladies, they just didn't have that family to teach them these basic things. And then we also have in the program, it's really neat, is we have like a mandatory savings program. They pay a minimal rent, but they actually get all that money back at the end of the program.
That's and awesome.
So, yeah, they actually graduate the program with a nest egg, which you know, puts them down the road in self-sufficiency.
That is incredible. And that, you know, just heading off the problem before it gets too big, you know, too big for them to get their arms around. And a woman walking with the Lord who can come beside them and say, here's how you do it. Here's everything that I kind of had to learn, you know, that maybe my mom didn't teach me. Here's what I've learned because I'm further down the road than you are right now, right? And so it's just investing time with them. Do you connect them with a local church or how does that work?
That is a massive part of our program. And we're so fortunate to have just great relationships with so many amazing churches. And that is vital in this program to see that the girls that are coming out of it that are successful. We've done a couple of things. And one is we found them really good Christian mentors. And the second huge thing is plugged them into a local church. And what's great is then that mama, that sweet mama, graduates from the program and she still is engulfed and surrounded by a loving body of Christ. So that's just pivotal to what we do. And if someone that's listening to this wants to replicate this program or wants us to come in and help them, we would say that is a major part. Something you're going to have is a local church that will be ready to get involved.
Well, exactly. Because you've taken them to the point of no safety nets, no support, trying to do it on their own, waking up to no answers.
Right.
And just providing basic needs for their children to a whole new group of, you know, a whole new community now.
That's right. And y'all, we're seeing these precious young ladies who've chosen to keep their children and want to be a good mama, but they just literally don't have the tools. We've, you know, some that are running from prostitution, some that are coming out of just horrible situations with a deadbeat boyfriend or very dysfunctional family that they need to get out of, actually, that they don't need to be around. And so they're mamas that want to be mamas, but they just haven't, they don't have the tools or the resources. And that's where we can step in as the body of Christ and just wrap our arms around them. And we're just seeing, you know, I've been in ministry a long time now, decades and decades. And the success of this program is just exciting. We're seeing girls come out and they're so proud of themselves. They're so excited and seeing that they can do it. They can be moms. And I have to tell you, at the beginning of this program, I was trying to jump in and give everybody a ride, taking their groceries and, you know, and the sweet director of our program, Lori Ingram, who's just so good. She said, you know, Christy, you need to step back. What we're trying to teach them is how to be a mama, how to do this on their own with the, you know, the body of Christ around them, but they've got to learn to take these steps and what to do and, you know, to hold down a job and to, some of them have gotten reliable transportation, have saved enough to get their own vehicles and then graduated with it. One little girl, 20, she just graduated with $5,000 in the bank.
Wow.
I know, you think, what a head start for her.
Yeah, that's a game changer.
That's a game changer.
She's got $5,000 in the bank. She's got a skill and she has community. Right.
That's exactly right. And we'll always be her family too.
Right.
I mean, we all get attached and we've had tons of girls go through this with their children, but you get attached to all of them.
Sure.
And, you know, and we help them find furniture when they do graduate. It's a big deal. And we help set them up in their, you know, apartment or whatever they're doing. We just, it's the body of Christ coming together to launch them into independence, even though they still have us to, because we still love them.
Right.
And Christy, you said this takes about 9 months. Do you see it go a little longer? Or I'm sure it's different for everyone, but is that about the right amount of time?
It is. We're seeing that's kind of the right amount of time. We, you know, we've had some that have stayed a year, some that have actually, you know, started and then just found that they took off. One little girl finished her CNA and just was way ahead of the program. She just needed confidence in herself, actually. Mm-hmm. She needed to know she could do it. So she was only with us 3 months.
Wow.
And for the most part, about 9 months.
Right. I think that these girls find, and I would feel like maybe I'm oversimplifying it, but it's a lot of a generational cycle of what they grew up with and then how they, the choices that they've made in the situation that they've gotten in. And so by, you know, being a part of the community and by being loved on and being mentored, it does give them the confidence to say, I can break this generational pattern and formulate not just a new life for my children and for me, but for my grandchildren and my children after, you know, my grandchildren after that. So it's breaking that cycle. But,
right.
You know, the enemy wants us to feel isolated. And when we feel isolated, we make, you know, can sometimes have wrong judgment and mm-hmm. make decisions that we ought not. So by getting them in community, I feel like that's probably one of the most valuable things. Mm-hmm. And they feel loved and treasured and worthy, which they are.
And they don't feel alone anymore.
Right.
Right. And you're exactly right. Satan is the king of isolation.
Mm-hmm.
He loves to isolate us. And that's in all of our ministries. We see that as a pattern of just Satan and what he tries to do. He tries to isolate you and make you feel like you're alone, that there's no way you can come out of this, and that my parents did it, my mm-hmm. grandparents, in a bad way, the bad cycles,
mm-hmm.
and teaching them, just like you said, I can break that generational cycle. And Christ does have an awesome plan for me. And these people really do love me and are going to stay by me. So, yeah, you're exactly right. It's really exciting to watch these young mamas become good, self-sustaining mothers, and to watch their kids. You know, the kids, it's so fun to watch them progress
mm-hmm.
and to see what normal should be. You know, it's not what they've seen before. It's a new normal, showing them what life should be like. And watching the kids grow, that's another fun element of this.
Sure, because kids thrive in safety and felt safety and security and love and with a proper nutrition and a good place to be. And when mom's in a good place, kids are going to be in a good place. So
that's
I feel
right.
like this program, Braves Mom, is a way that we can, you know, as the body of Christ, come alongside these girls and keep kids out of foster care and
right.
keep families together.
That's
I do
right.
know, though, that the Florida Baptist Homes for Children has an incredible foster program. So when it does come to a situation where a child needs to be protected and removed from a home, tell us in your mind, I know you all serve about 1,200 placements, foster placements, which is
yeah.
huge because they're Christian families, which is incredible. And that's of about, Florida has what you said, about 15,000 foster kids in the state. So 1,200. So how have you seen that placing children in Christian homes has been beneficial?
There's no other way to do it. If you're going to be a Christian foster parent with us, you have to get a reference from your pastor. You have to share your testimony and that you're active and growing in your relationship with Christ and in your church. And there's just no comparison to placing a child in a loving Christian home and not. And so we're just passionate about it. And if we could find 5,000 more families that would be willing to be Christian foster parents, we could take all the kids in Florida. I would love to see every child in Florida, every child in the nation, in fact, that's in the foster care system be absorbed into Christian families. And we could do that
as
the body of Christ. There's no reason we shouldn't be.
Yeah, Lynette and I were just talking the other day. In Georgia alone, there are over 13,000 kids in foster care. There are 3,400 approved homes, which is tragic that there's only 3,400 homes, but there are 3,600 Southern Baptist churches alone. And that's not including other evangelical Bible believing churches. And so if one foster family rose from every rural church, every urban church, one foster family from every church, we would over double just the amount of foster families, and they'd be believing families who would be loving these kids as Christ would have them to be loved.
And we could do that. I feel like part of it is just education.
Mm-hmm.
And churches just constantly, I know people get tired of me saying what you just said, but it's true. If people in churches, if everyone just took one, if every church had one foster family, we could absorb. And you know what we're seeing too, is if the senior pastor of a church gets behind this, it really takes off in their
Absolutely.
Area.
Absolutely. We've seen it happen every time.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Every time. Yeah, the math is not hard.
I'm so proud of you, Terry and Lynn. You know, y'all really stepped up and modeled this. And I'm so thankful for y'all and leadership and what you do for NAM. We're just so appreciative and really love and respect what y'all do too.
Oh, we appreciate that.
That's very kind. Well, it's exciting to see what Florida Baptists are doing. And I really do appreciate the fact that you all take really seriously who you're going to allow to be foster parents. So, you know, when you say you've got to have a reference from your pastor and you've got to share your testimony, it's not just, I'm going to write Christian on my piece of paper.
Right.
So what kinds of training do you all do to prepare your families, or how do you encourage churches to kind of do wraparound care to your foster families?
And you nailed the word. We have wraparound services. We have a great church relations department, and we have great staff that come in and, of course, do training. But then they help churches learn how to wrap around these families, because y'all have seen it, too. I mean,
yes.
It's great to get one family in church, but if you can get three mm-hmm. or four and they can help support each other and do life together. And then if you can get a church to really engage with them, but we come in, the children's home comes in and helps train churches even on how to wrap around. And we train on prayer mm-hmm. and then on respite and then resources, how to wrap around them. And we really believe it's a mission field. I mean, you don't have to, and we work in 14 countries. Our international arm is called Orphan's Heart, and we're passionate about our international orphan care also. But you know, you can be on the mission field right here in your home with one child or three kids. So we're passionate about Christian foster care, and I know we can absorb those children. I know we can do that.
Well, I have a really kind of another question. When you were talking about the senior pastors getting on board, how do you and Jerry kind of come alongside pastors who say, well, foster care or adoption ministry or orphan ministry is just another niche in the church. It's just another ministry to go along with the 18 other ministries I'm trying to juggle. So why does this one need to be elevated, or whatever the right word would be? Why is this so important for our church to really be behind it?
Well, first of all, because it's a command of Christ, and because it was huge to him. And it's not like we have to convince pastors. I think pastors know that orphan care is high on the priority list. I think most churches, you know, they do have tons of programs. Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of even competition within the church, but most churches that we talk to, and they just need the tools mm-hmm. and they need someone to say, this is how you do it. You know, we're 100 or almost 115 years old. We've been doing a long time. We can tell you what we've done wrong,
mm-hmm.
many, many things. But just helping a church know. And what we do is we actually come into a church and say, what do you want? And how do you want to reach the children and community? And let us come up with an orphan care strategy in your church that's good for you. And so it's just part of what we do. We meet with pastors, but it does, you know, it does have to come from the pulpit. I could draw a ring around in the state of Florida where senior pastor has really gotten on board from the pulpit and said, guys, we got to take care of our children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the church. This is what we're called to do. This is pure religion. And when a pastor really gets behind it, so a lot of times we're just going in, talking to the pastor about it and saying, this is what you can do. And this is, and the church benefits too. Right. You're absorbing those families. And you know, everyone can use their gifts if they want to get involved in foster care, all spiritual gifts can be used in that. So we come in and try and help the pastor and then their staff know how they can have their own orphan care ministry.
And then I think it's beautiful when that happens in a church, when the pastor gets on board and it infiltrates to the people and you just see that love for foster children begin to grow. And then that first family gets their first placement.
Yes.
It is so fun. I love watching that. And then it begins to spread like other families, like, well, if they can do it, we can do it.
Right.
And they begin to support one another. And when, I know we just had foster families at our church to get together for a meal Sunday night and they all left so encouraged. It was very simple. But they all left so encouraged, and man, it just, nothing excites me much more than that.
Yeah, and in our church alone, I just love the fact that our preschoolers collected socks for foster kids, and then our senior adults are super excited and doing things like doing the Amazon deliver to your door diapers once a month for our foster family. So everybody from little people to our senior saints can be involved in some way to do wraparound care and support our foster families. So it becomes a church culture, not another program.
Exactly.
Exactly. We're actually on every year we have a goal, and this year it's 600,000 diapers, and we're going to feed that because we got lots of little bottoms out there, and that's a great way to do ministry. And it's like you said, anyone can take their child to the grocery store and say, pick out some diapers, and we're going to give this to a foster family. Right. And this is a teaching moment.
It is.
On sharing what a foster family is. And I'm with you. I've seen those churches when that first family finishes their little training.
It's just great.
And they get their first kid, and everybody feels like they got their first child.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, they do. Everyone feels like they got their first child. That's a great point. Christy, this morning I was just reading through Philippians, and Philippians 2:4, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others. You know, Paul was just training the church, the early church, in the beginning stages to look after each other. And then he backs up in chapter 1, verse 27, he says, let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. And, you know, you've done that, and we're so blessed to call you our sister in Christ, and we're so encouraged by the work you guys are doing in Florida, and it makes us want to work harder where we are.
It does.
So thank you.
Thank you.
You have been listening to The Adopting and Fostering Home, a resource of the North American Mission Board. For more information about today's podcast and other relevant resources, visit namb.net/sendrelief.